Hello. I pushed the button.
Thank goodness.
And welcome to the Cubicorn Games Podcast. Joining me this evening to talk about stuff and things, and maybe a video game or two? We'll see. We'll play it by ear. In the flesh, Lorraine Morbido is here, to my right.
It's true, but who are you?
I'm Dustin Morbido.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm off my game already. Gosh,
clearly.
My mojo is all fucked up.
Gosh.
Thank you, Lorraine.
You're welcome.
Forcing me to introduce myself. Lorraine Morbido is here, obviously.
Still true.
She gave me my name back, so...
Master has presented Dobby with a name.
That's right. She passed me a book with a...
Yep. Name in it.
Had a filthy pair of underwear in it.
Gross. Like the one you left in the bathroom this morning.
Damn. Oh,
you
damn.
You've done it 2 days in a row.
No, that's not... So...
Do you want to let's introduce our guest
and then I'll defend
Cubicorn's
myself
own
in the court of public opinion.
First intern, your friend and mine, Andrea Gutierrez, is here with us.
Hello.
Joining us via the internet.
Yeah.
Keep messing with her levels a little bit just to make sure we're getting enough Andrea. How's it going?
It's going, but I really want to hear you defend yourself.
Okay. All right.
So first, context. Yeah, I think it was yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You get out of the shower. I go in there, your clothes are draped over the side of the tub and are soaked.
So that's the one I can explain.
Okay.
The other day was just ignorance, if there's two. I don't remember there being two, but this one I will defend. And I don't know if it's a good defense or not, but I'm going to defend it anyway. So, some days, like we were kind of talking about before we got on and recorded, I don't know, sometimes you just feel blech. And in the morning is usually when I feel the most blech of all. So, on occasion...
Also, by morning, he means mid-afternoon
in
general.
Depends on the day.
That's when
people have their own mornings. It's just
between 12 and 1.
When my mind is starting to become active, whenever that may fall on a given day...
Morning.
Shh.
Air quotes. Aggressive air quotes.
Hey.
I felt the aggression.
Every once in a while, the first thing I do, or close to the first thing I do in a given day, is wash myself, shower, or bathe, or whatever.
If we're lucky.
That's right. If it's the second Sunday of any month,
First blue moon of the year.
I go to the bathroom and I, get all squeaky clean. And every once in a while, when I'm having a particularly, I wish that I could sleep mode my own brain for an hour kind of moments, I will lay back in the tub and just let the water hit me for about 3 or 4 minutes. When I did that the other day, a decent amount of it spilled out onto the floor. So as opposed to just dirtying an extra towel or something, I just sopped it up with my dirty clothes that I did not need any longer, and then left them in the bathroom because they were wet.
Okay.
That is my defense for that.
That's also what that mat is for, that you leave over the side of the tub and let it get soaked.
Although that was on the floor this time too, but it wasn't as...
And then today, mixed up in said mat, was your clothes from yesterday.
So that I must have just brain farted. I don't
Clearly.
Know how I did that.
You're in the bathroom still because I'm not your mother. That's why I don't pick up your clothes that you leave all over the house.
That's fine. Just yell at me. Just not out in the open. And not while I'm in a telephone booth and then I see a laser sight on my chest. And it's your clothes are in the bathroom. Damn.
Plus the bathroom and more the living room that gets in more annoying. Various pairs of pants and other, just pairs and pairs of socks. But, we all have our crosses to bear. Mine is just dirty clothes all over the house.
I pick up on my own if they're getting out of hand, yell at me.
My personal preference is none of them, so it's always out of hand, so you don't want me yelling at you every single day. Some of us put our clothes in the clothes basket after wearing them.
That's where they go.
I always was able to blame the mess on other people.
I say now it's
now I live on my own.
So if you see a stack of five pizza boxes in the corner, you're like, oh, that was my doing. I did that. It's nobody's fault but mine.
I will probably never have 5 pizza boxes.
Well, you know what I mean. That was a stand-in for, you know...
No, I know.
Any kind of food receptacle of your choice.
Oh, no, all of this stuff needs to get done. Who's going to do all the chores?
How has living alone been, Andrea?
Huh?
How has living alone been? You've been at it for, like, 3-ish weeks? 2-3?
Yeah, something like that. It's honestly not bad. I cannot complain.
Very chill, I would assume.
It is, except every day, I don't know what it is, I just want to be finished moving, even though, like, I still have half my stuff in my parents' house.
I say, but what is your stuff, your percentage of stuff moved over so far, and what's your current, like, furniture situation like? Like, do you have stuff in, most of the rooms of the house, or is it still a lot of them just like, well, these spaces are just, like, totally empty, but I'll fill them up with stuff eventually.
No, like, all the furniture's over except for my desk.
Okay.
And it's mostly, like, my clothes that are in my parents' house. And then I'm, like, realizing, oh, snap, I have to do laundry.
So if you run out, you pull a drawer out and there's nothing left in there. It's like, well.
Usually. And I'm starting to realize that's the same thing goes with my refrigerator.
Every time you open it, it's like, oh.
Emptier.
I guess I'm eating Brenner for dinner today.
That's right. These Taco Bell hot sauce packets and this
technically have caloric value.
Quarter filled bottle of ketchup aren't going to quite do it for a hearty morning breakfast.
Like, I've been used to cooking for myself for a while now, but I guess I'm just not used to the having to go grocery shopping.
That's why the easiest thing that I found was literally just falling into some kind of routine. Like, I basically have, kind of with the exception of Wednesday, something to do each day in regards to, like, household upkeep. Like, Monday and Thursday are laundry. Tuesday is where I, like, clean literally almost everything and wash towels. And then Friday is grocery shopping with my mom because that's when she would do it. And so I go with her.
So I usually have a routine because I go all to visit, Lorena, our other sorority sister, Erica.
Mm-hmm.
I visit her on Saturday mornings and we go grocery shopping and stuff. But I've been running 5Ks the last 2 weekends.
I saw that. You just did one last weekend.
Yeah. So it's like my Saturdays kind of become like my catch-all day and I haven't been able to go grocery shopping the last 2 weeks. But I'm like, that's fine. I meal prepped enough for like an extra week.
Mm.
And then now all of the meal prep is gone.
The meals have been prepped and consumed.
Yeah, so my routine just kind of got thrown off for a while, and now Easter's coming up, so I have to kind of figure out what day I can pick grocery shopping in.
At least that's not on a Saturday. You could still go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely recommend doing it with a friend if you can. Like, Lorraine going with her mom, or, like, if you go with Erica or whatever, like, those are both cool. If you do, and this is a personal preference, so it might not work for everyone out there, but if you do find yourself going alone consistently, like, if you just, you know, it doesn't sync up that you're able to go hang out with somebody and go do it or whatever, my preferred time to go buy stuff like that, like groceries and just, like, day-to-day essentials, is, like, in the, like, just after dinner. Like, I like a 6 to 8 p.m. Grocery run. But again, that's a little, like, I'm an afternoon and night guy. Like, might just be, like, my nocturnal nature or something.
I think so.
It is very chill, because there's nobody over there in, like, the evening. Like, so you can just wander the aisles with your headphones in, you know, just bob along and go grab everything you need. And you're not fighting with, you know, mom's trying to wrangle the kids in the cart or whatever. It's just a very laid back. I find it to be a very laid back way to get your cereal.
You see, I like getting it out of the way, which is why I go in the morning. Because then I have the whole day to do whatever I want and don't have to worry about going to the store. I like staying home.
Less chronic procrastinator.
Hey, whoa there, whoa. I procrastinate like nobody's business.
You're
going to
defend your procrastination?
I'm lazy when I want to be, which is a lot of the time. But when I want to get something done, I get something fucking done. Sometimes that getting that done is grocery shopping in the morning.
Well, I'm super lazy, not joking around, but for those that don't know, I have allergies. And one of the only places I can buy bread is the Royal Oak Farmers Market. And nice. That's like Saturday mornings.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So regardless, if I'm tired, it's kind of like, if you want a donut.
Do you want to eat any kind of grain product this week? Then go to the farmer's market.
And then Erica's like a morning person, so.
I mean, same.
How's the shelf life in that stuff? Is it any different than like the bread you just buy, like the regular ass, like gluten shit in a loaf?
Gluten. Gluten loaf.
All the gluten-free stuff, like, sucks at shelf life.
That's what I was wondering.
The bread I can usually get away with, like, keeping it in the freezer.
Yeah.
But, like, I just popped in some sweet bread that I bought, like, a long time ago. And, like, the lesson was is that they do not keep well. Like, I really hope I didn't get food poisoning.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would... it was worth the risk if it had tasted fine.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say was, I remember when I was still working at Westmoreland, like, all the gluten-free bread products were all in the freezer. The loaves, like pizza dough, anything. Like, there was just a section in the freezer that was all gluten-free bread, and it was nowhere else in the store. It was always in the frozen section. It was like booties and stuff like that.
Always in the freezer.
You just have to be, like, much more tactical then about, like, your consumption rate if you want to make the most of it. Like, you have to...
I think that's why most of the loaves are smaller to begin with, honestly, because, like, the... At least, like, the brand that I'm most familiar with just from Westbourne is Udi's, and they were, like, about... They were maybe, like, a fourth of the size smaller, like, so, like, three-fourths of a normal, like...
Yeah.
Like, slice of
25%
bread.
25% less... bread. So,
like, and then it was like about half of the length, like the half of the total number of like slices in there.
Okay.
So it's like all gluten-free stuff, half the amount, twice the price.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's so much more expensive.
But that's why, like, I choose to do a lot of my own stuff though, and I like just steer clear of the grainy type stuff.
Yeah.
Bread is so good. So.
Especially, like, good bread. Like, good bread is, like, really good.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I can get some gluten-free breads local, but the one at the Royal Oak Farmers Market, that's worth... It's worth getting up on a Saturday morning.
To go grab it.
Oh.
Yeah, I definitely like me some bread. I will thank my lucky stars that...
I have a gluten allergy.
I don't have a gluten allergy. You know, at least to date. I guess anything can happen. You get old enough and you just can't eat shit anymore. Yeah. But,
you know, there's a lot of things I said I couldn't live without. God proved me wrong.
On the other hand.
I mean, it's just kind of how uncomfortable do you want to feel today? Like, how crappy? Like, you could just YOLO it and just feel like garbage for the rest of the week.
There are degrees, because I can't speak for the gluten stuff. My dad has been pretty severely lactose intolerant.
I did not know that, actually.
But he'll also just sometimes, at least in his case, he's just like, all right, let's have a bowl of ice cream, and then I'm going to pay for it later, but...
That's literally me. After I ran, I was like, I want these gluten-free pancakes, and the person was like, I think it has corn in it, and I was like, I'm going to risk it, and I'm still feeling crappy today.
Aww.
Man.
And it was Sunday.
Is it, like, because for him, it's pretty much just, like, gastrointestinal stuff, which is not fun, but, you know.
I think that's the majority of lactose intolerance. Like, it's not super severe, not like a peanut allergy or anything.
Yeah, what kind of, like, do you get, is it that
kind
of stuff with
wrong
food stuff? Or, yeah, like, skin irritation or, like, headaches or something like that? Like, what is the...
Of the eight things that I am, what is it, ingestionally allergic to, I guess?
That sounds right.
I'm going to believe you and say yes.
Wheat makes me, like, super sick. Like, it, like, cuts up my stomach, makes it, like, ulcers.
Jeez.
Corn makes me congested and emotional. So if I'm ever, like, really, like, mean, I'll just say, oh, I ate corn.
It was the corn.
It was the corn. My fun one is soy. So soy makes me feel drunk, like, super tipsy. Like, I'm a cheap date. Just give me some edamame. But it also makes you feel bloated, so.
Checks and balances.
And then shrimp makes me have Kardashian lips for about, two minutes. And then I'll have to go to the hospital, so.
Note to self, no shrimp.
But hey, like for those 2 seconds though, I'm Photoshop ready.
You get the selfie and then we take you to the ER.
I can take that selfie from the car. And then like my peach fuzz just gives me hives, but I'm missing stuff. Oh, I haven't tested the peanut or the walnut allergy because it said super allergic, would not try. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm the
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, if those are the results they reported to you, I don't think I'd go out on a limb and give it a shot.
No.
Although not to rub it in, but peanut butter is pretty awesome. I wouldn't do it, but
I tried sunflower. I have sunflower butter, mm-hmm. and it's actually like really like similar for me. Hmm.
Does it like spread really well and stuff? Is it like still nice and creamy?
It could be creamier, but I think that they leave it less creamy so that it could have a longer shelf life.
That's fair.
Leaning more towards the depression butter, I see.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Tragic.
Yeah, that's crazy. But still, like, you know, it's good that you've, like, because since we've known you, you've been able to figure a lot of this stuff out, and it's good that, like,
has made you a happier person.
Yeah, that you've at least got a handle on it at this point. Because I don't have...
Losing 50 pounds is cool, too. So,
yeah. Tell me about it.
Hey, that's all on you.
The only real allergy stuff I have going that I know of...
I haven't been tested either.
I've never had them administer the thing where they like poke you with 40 needles and then give you like a printout of like, here's all the shit that's wrong with you. But just in exposing myself to like eating peanuts and whatever. The only thing I've ever come across is I have like a mild cat allergy.
Your
eyes
get puffy.
I own cats, so it's like...
I think it's the dander or the saliva, which is the most common...
Yeah, it's not... Like
irritant,
debilitating by any means necessarily, but it's just my eyes get all itchy really and and then I start to rub them and then it gets worse because if I'm around a cat, I've probably been petting that cat, so then I'm just like putting it directly into my face. But it's not a big deal.
It's
just annoying.
I've never noticed anything like that with me. I get like seasonal, like pollen a little bit, like spring and fall when I get a little congested.
Kind of same here too, but nothing that like I would call severe. Yeah. Just a little.
My main Achilles heel is atmospheric pressure changes. I get migraines like nobody's business and feel awful. It's great.
Ugh,
so great.
Hard pass.
Most of the time I can tell when it's gonna like rain or snow or something. Like if it hasn't for a while. Because then I'll feel it and I'll be like, oh, great. Or while it's raining or something, it'll just hit me like a brick and I'll be out for kind of the rest of the day. It's fun.
My mom gets chronic migraines, so I grew up watching her and I'm like, man, that sucks. I don't want it.
It's great.
But that's like the interesting thing. I actually just had a conversation with somebody about like allergy testing. So I did the prick test when I had started getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
It was like actually right around the time I think I had joined the sorority. And they did the prick test and it said I was like allergic to cats and dogs, but I've had dogs my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Even one of the dogs slept in my bed and the doctor was like, wouldn't suggest that. I was like, whatever. and then it didn't even register any of my food allergies.
Huh.
And then I went to, like, 5 specialists, and the cheapest test that they could have given me, which was the last test they gave me, was the blood allergy test, and that one's the one that found all of my food allergies.
I wonder if it's because it's more of, like you said, ingestinal. Maybe it's because it's internal as opposed to, like, a skin irritant. Like, touching a loaf of bread isn't going to cause you any distress, but the second you eat it, you're done.
Yeah, that probably makes some sense. Again, I'm no medical professional, but...
I mean, it makes sense to me. I'm the farthest thing from a medical professional you'd ever find. Never listen to me.
But yeah, I know it makes sense to me. And the other thing was that when they did the prick test, I guess I was allergic to the plastic that they were throwing.
Whoa.
And, like, the one that wasn't... Like, they pricked me with just the needle or, like, the little prick, and they said, this one's supposed to be...
Like the control...
Like, the control, and it shouldn't react. And, like, that one was bigger than the one that was supposed to.
Wow.
So,
almost like a severe like latex reaction or something like that. Because I know that's a pretty big problem too. Like some people can't even put on like those reusable gloves.
Mm-hmm.
They have that bad of a latex allergy.
There's a girl I follow. She has a corn allergy and it's like way severe. Oh, she wears a face mask.
Oh.
Even when she's like driving and stuff. Or no, I lied. She gets, that's one of her like safe zones is her car.
Mm.
Holy Toledo.
Man, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how that would have, like, how, I know there's, like, kind of, I mean, it hasn't been, like, super big recently, but, like, that ethanol, like, fuel. I wonder if that would set people off with, like, corn allergies at all. Or if there's any, like, any actual connection to, like, the ethanol, like, in its fuel form versus, like, in corn form.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But even those, like, that could be a diluted thing where, like...
I just wonder if there's any, like...
Yeah, I'm not
connecting
sure how much...
thread.
How much corn is left
again,
in there anyway. And then
not
a lot of
a
that,
medical professional.
A lot of that fuel is
don't
still only, like, I think, like 10 or 15%
yeah.
ethanol,
sure.
you know, cut with regular-ass petroleum.
Hell
or whatever,
yeah. But... Give me that cocktail.
Well, you know, I'm not, like, a huge conspiracy theorist, but...
Bring it on. Lay it on me.
Well, it's that's the thing, is that, like, corn is such, like, a high allergen, but in the U.S., they say that it's not. Because if they did count it, then they would have to actually label everything that has corn in it.
Yeah.
But they use corn in, like, soaps and
big
food.
Big corn, man.
And, like, clothing. It's, like, everywhere.
Big
and, like,
corn.
Yeah, so it's, like, I just feel like they're just, like, can avoid it as long as possible. Like, let's just find these random other things that people could be allergic to. Oh, look, at that, it's, like, most of the population, except it's only used, like, sparsely, so... Sparingly, there you go.
Yeah, same thing.
Words.
Big corn.
Hey, English as a second language, but but yeah, so that's my theory. Because like even with soy is like a top 7 and it doesn't have to be labeled everywhere, but like people have to label it when they're like at restaurants and stuff. So
when you say it's a high allergen, do you know if that means that it's that a lot of people are likely to be allergic to it, or that the people who are extremely allergic to it?
No, it's the volume, but not
percentage of the population that is
quantity over quality.
Okay,
effectively,
basically,
big corn.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like gluten free wasn't a thing until like more recently, where everybody's like gluten free.
Sure, and that's still like mostly accidental, like.
Yeah.
The number of people who are consuming gluten-free products are much higher than the number of people that actually have gluten intolerances. Like, I think you can thank, like, classy white women who...
Yeah.
like, we're trendy fat diets for the...
Basically.
You know, something like that. Not that... and again, that's not to diminish the fact that people have
gluten
intolerances. Gluten
allergies are 1,000% a thing, but the majority of people buying... Not necessarily the majority... The affluent people buying gluten-free products
necessary. We had this conversation off the podcast once, too, that in my mind, one of the reasons that gluten-free stuff is more accessible now, which is a good thing,
yes,
you know, ultimately, for people
absolutely.
Who actually do have an intolerance to gluten, is it's like the goop buying. Like, jade egg in your vagina crowd. It's like, I'm going to sleep with this crystal, you know, under my butt for 6 weeks, and it's going to... cure my acne. Just like, all right, sure. I'm certain that'll happen. I'm glad you spent $500 on that. Lorraine, I think you down for the count?
Maybe.
Well.
As eloquent as always does. Lovely put.
Thank you for putting it in perspective.
I do what I can.
But no, It's like just yesterday, I placed an order for like this place I go all the time, Barone Burger. Shout out, hey! But the thing is like I tell them I'm ordering off the gluten free menu, and their first question is always, "Is it because you have an allergy?"
Like for real, or like you know?
Yeah, and I say yes, I have a gluten. I say I have a wheat allergy because everybody says that like gluten, but I'm like, no, I'm allergic to wheat. I'm not allergic to gluten.
Yeah.
But they're not synonymous. But then, like, I got there, and she repeated, like, what I had ordered, and I was like, is it gluten-free? And she was like, oh, no, is this supposed to be gluten-free? I was like, yes, I specifically said I have a gluten allergy, because it's just easier ordering.
Right.
And then my friend goes to a bakery, and it's a gluten dedicated bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd think, hey, if it's gluten dedicated, then they would be like the ideal place for people with celiac disease. And people with celiacs can get sick from cross-contamination.
Sure.
And even the slightest amount of gluten. And he got food, like my friend got food poisoning. Wow. Or not, I'm calling it food poisoning, because the pepperoni that they had been ordering for their pizza rolls had a wheat casing.
Wow. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff's even, not even for like the intended, like, you know, inclusion in products, but that stuff's actually real serious from a, like that kind of raises real serious, it's another facet of like real serious issues about the consolidation of food production.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the bigger that the, you know, crafts and the whatever get, they become these enormous facilities that are just, like, one single organization processing,
literally
like,
everything.
Yeah, thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of food. And even if they don't intend to, the accidental cross-pollinization of,
anything.
Right, getting one thing into the other where it's not supposed to, or, you know, just the good old-fashioned, like, pathogens, like, if something, you know, if some bacteria or something got on, you know, one set of blades that chops up all your, grains or whatever.
Well, that's just, like, the annoying part. Like, I call it annoying, but it's fine. It's when people say, like, yeah, I'm gluten-free, but then they don't really understand what it could mean to another person. So, like, these, you know, I guess, what are you calling them? Crystal egg people?
That's what I'll call them.
When they make these recipes and they're like, yeah, it's gluten-free, and then they don't realize that it being gluten-free enough for them is not okay for the people who it could, like, seriously affect.
Yeah, what they classify as gluten-free might not actually be, like, truly that. It could just be their perception of it, and then it leads to confusion and bad times.
So like, that's me, right? So, like, since I'm allergic to so many things, paleo is, like, perfect for me. So I get super excited when I see paleo products. And when we went to Oregon, Portland. When we went to Portland last year, I went to a paleo restaurant. And, like, they were ranting and raving how, like, they are paleo. And I read all of the blogs and all the people that followed them. And I was like, oh, perfect. But these people were paleo by choice, not by necessity. And that was the only place that I have ever gotten food poisoning from.
Wow.
Man.
Like, I literally was driving, and I was the one driving, of course, and my voice started changing.
Oh, geez.
And I started telling the girls, like, hey, I'm, like, not feeling so hot.
Jeez,
and the moment
that sucks.
I got back to the hotel, it was over.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, yeah. And I have not eaten sweet and sour paleo chicken since then.
Man. I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to divert this entire conversation.
Oh,
no
worries.
That's fine. Yeah, that's really, that still sucks, particularly that situation, but.
I mean, that's like how I gave myself food poisoning last year. That's what happens when you mix oils when you're cooking. Bad times. I was throwing up for like an entire day. I was sauteing vegetables, and I used a little, I used some vegetable oil, and it might have been like sunflower oil or something like that at the same time. And I'm pretty sure that's what caused the, it was broccoli, it was peppers, it was stuff I ate all the time. But I think the mixing of the oils, even just a little bit, really messed me up, because I was basically, I couldn't keep anything, not even water, down the rest of the day. It was terrible.
That's fascinating. Like, I mix my oils all the time.
I don't do it enough. Like, I think that's part of the reason why. Because, like, I've used the sunflower oil before in, like, a recipe. It wasn't just, like, there was other sauces and stuff mixed in with it, not so much of it by itself, which I think is what caused most of the reaction, so much that I wasn't ready for. And I was just, like, it was a disaster the rest of the day. Dustin remembers.
No. I mean, I'm hoping I didn't give myself food poisoning today.
With that bread?
I keep baking in the freezer, but I defrosted it, and I'm like, you know, I should probably make this, but it was a little weird looking. I was like, but you know, all that organic crap looks different than meat that I grew up eating, because, you know.
Sure.
I was like, maybe it's just the healthiness. That's what meat's supposed to actually look like.
That's what's making it so potent right now.
No, But I'll have to learn that because I don't want to. I'm going to learn from your oil mixing.
I think just I should have been a little more observant. I was mixing things when I probably shouldn't have been mixing things.
I could have still been an isolated incident. It could have just been some of the vegetables or something.
It absolutely could have. But I'm still going to be cautious when using various oils I'm not normally used to eating from now on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you start feeling crappy, you'll know the difference. But I usually just eyeball it when stuff is.
It tasted great. I enjoyed eating it so much. No, I had bought all those vegetables recently. None of them were like growing mold because I normally just either cut around that or just throw the whole thing away.
Yeah, like if something specifically passed its expiration date or whatever, I'll always like smell check it and even like taste a little bit of it or whatever. Unless it's like truly like if you open up your milk and it's like more lumpy than it is liquid, like that's a no-go. But if it's just like past its date and you smell it and it seems fine and then you sip it and it also seems fine,
I mean,
like,
I normally,
it's almost
like,
certainly okay.
You can generally keep milk a week like safely after the date, which is what I've tried to do for the most part, but the longer it gets past that date, the more I'm just kind of worried and also now a little more skittish because of that incident that I gave myself.
And that stuff's
so
all,
I generally like if it's starting to smell kind of funky, I'll just pour, and normally it's already down to the, like near the bottom anyway, it's like maybe like a bowl of cereal more. And I don't want to risk it at that point.
How does milk last in your fridge past the date?
Like, it's the two of us.
No, that's what I'm saying, like it's just the one of me.
Do you buy it like a half gallon at a time or a whole gallon at a time?
I bought the whole gallon.
I mean, do you eat how much, like, cereal? When do you have, like, a glass with every meal or whatever? Because Lorraine, not often, right? Like, you don't, like, your parents would pour milk with dinner or whatever, but I almost always just have a glass of water, so.
I don't know. It depends. I grew up having milk with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird.
That's my parents.
That's super, that's white people for
you.
We're
like hella white European, so I think it just kind of either came from, my grandparents, because they do the exact same, like my mom's parents, because they do the exact same thing. I honestly don't know about what my dad's parents would have done.
Wine.
I didn't want to say that, but they're like hella Italian, so there's that.
It's not Peter on the bush.
Fine.
Anyway.
But I mean, like, and I'll drink a glass of milk every now and then, like with dessert and some stuff like that. But I normally have it in my cereal.
Yeah, I usually, same. I almost never drink milk by itself, just like as a side beverage. I'll put it in bowls of cereal, and I'll usually have some when I'm having any, like, if I have a cookie or, like, you know, some kind of sweet, like Lane said, like a dessert type thing, I'll usually have some milk beside it just to cut the, like, overwhelming, like.
But I also can't drink, like, above 0.5%.
That's just...
I just can't. Like, we always grew up on fat-free, so even, like, half is getting kind of... I can't deal with it. It's just, it's too much. It's too thick.
I have a coworker who drinks, like, whole milk.
Ugh.
That's, like, decadent. Ugh. Like, that's, ugh, like, a, like, ugh, that's, like, a birthdays and, like, holidays milk.
That's, like, a never.
I don't,
like,
know anybody who drink whole milk consistently, but we would always get anywhere between, like... 0.5%, 2% usually.
2%.
But I mean, I'll drink whatever Lorraine buys because I'm not super particular. But it does surprise me that, like, you have such a hard line in the sand.
I think it's like the oil thing. I'm just not used to it. Once in a while we'd get half or one maybe, but it was always fat-free milk.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's just a thing.
Well, we get to that consistency. Anything that's just too thick.
And it's also like it tastes different too. Like I just can't, like I notice it instantly, and it's just I can't stomach it. Ugh.
Well, I drink it in my smoothies in the morning, and then like cereal if I have it.
I could probably do it in like a smoothie, but just by itself, it's too much.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Man. I just had a glass of milk right now.
There you go. Oh,
I have definitely switched a little more to water as opposed to milk in general. Basically because I know before I wasn't drinking enough water, and I drink water like all the time. Because unlike some people who like kind of just like snack, like just they need something by them all the time, I need something to drink by me all the time. And having a glass of water is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll put that
out
there.
I drink like hella water, man.
I'll put that out there to anyone who If you're drinking an amount of water where you're not sure if you're drinking enough water, you should definitely drink more water.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my more just, like, general quality of life things that, like, when I switched over from drinking, like, a very minimal amount of, like, sodas.
And drinking
water almost exclusively when it's, like, time for meals. It just, like, improved my general state of being.
I need it, man. I realized
that I was actually, like, kind of significantly dehydrated some parts of the day. If you would, like, sit down and have, like, lunch or whatever, and it would always be a Coke or a Pepsi or something.
Let's just go full deep dive into diets.
Diet.
Let's do it. It's the diet podcast. Cubicorn Games Zero. Because we had fairly strict dietary restrictions growing up. Like, it was basically no pop during the week, and then maybe a can on the weekends. Now, I basically only have a can a day. That is what I will allow myself, because I can't give it up. I like it. It's just, I like it.
As children...
I'm actually not that caffeine dependent, though. I have come to realize that. Like, sometimes I'll get headaches, and then some caffeine will help, but it's very hit or miss, because a lot of the time, like I mentioned before, the weather, a lot of other nonsense goes into those equations.
As children, I recall the household restriction being basically, like, one glass a day, which was not necessarily even, like, a whole can. It was just, like, however much was poured into whatever container. Mm-hmm. And then later on, when we were, like, probably, like, preteen to teen years, it was just, like, you know, do what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Which still was, like, usually for me, like, with, at, like, two or three cans a day, maybe. Because it was just with, like, with some number of meals. Never breakfast, but...
Like, I would hope not. I can't think of anything that would pair well with... any kind of pop, for maybe Sprite.
I mean, I know people. Maybe. There are people who do it. I don't recommend it.
It's gross.
There are people who drink diet sodas like they drink coffee. Like they just get up in the morning and have one.
It's like Megan, except
diet soda's worse though.
Diet is the worst. I also have like kind of developed a extreme diversion to any of the like the Pepsi ones or the Coke Zeros, because there was a few years where that's all we had, and it was sad times.
That sounds so sad.
I mean, that's
all my parents would buy, and I hated it.
My personal recommendation has always been, like, look, either drink something else or just, like, man up and just drink the regular soda. Like, if your thing is going to be like, oh, I can drink 16 diet sodas, because they're like, nah, just, look, man, just, maybe you shouldn't be drinking that.
For some people, normal pop is too sugary. I can understand that. Like, I think that's kind of part of what the diet does. It gets rid of some of that. There's also sugar-free options. I know, like, and, like, some also have caffeine-free options. Caffeine-free Coke is definitely better than, like, Coke Zero. I can testify to that, because I've had both for multiple years. But, I mean, you gotta also, like, maybe restrictions. Like, I know I sometimes... get slightly carried away, but I also it's only like weekends or like if I'm at like a social gathering or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like a wedding or whatever.
What did your family try to do, Andrea, like to rein in like either soda consumption or anything that was just like
My family drinks so much soda, but growing up when I was 7, I was diagnosed with gastritis, and my sister was also, and she's 2 years older, so she was 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. So we weren't allowed to have any soda, and we didn't drink any soda until we were in our teens.
Mm.
And then I obviously got that taste of sugar and like wanted a lot of it. So then my mom made us give up, like my household give up soda for Lent every year.
Mm.
And then now that I'm allergic to corn, most sodas have corn syrup in it.
Oh yeah.
So then I only get to drink like the Mexican sodas and like Town Club.
That's good shit, though. I love me a Mexican Coke.
It is quite delicious.
They're good.
But it's so sugary now, and like I'm just used to drinking water or milk or like fresh kind of smoothies and stuff. So I can only like stomach maybe half a bottle.
Because those Mexican Coke bottles are bigger than most.
Like, well, they're like usually the old school, super classy glass ones. Yeah.
I mean, I think they only come in glass, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But they are bigger.
They get so surprised, though, because, like, I'll drink it, and then I'll, like, put it in the fridge, and then, like, a week later, it'll probably still be in there. I just don't know. And I, like, but I also cut back on my caffeine. I used to drink, like, a few cups of coffee a day or tea, and now I'm just like, I don't really need it today. So.
That stuff's all good. Like, if you can, if you can wean yourself off of things a little bit. It doesn't mean, you know, like, never, ever have them. But if you can, if you're going from a very high usage level and you can get yourself down to a lower one, that's always a positive, I think.
I mean, that's one of the biggest pitfalls that people fall into when they're trying to change any kind of diet. It's like, setting too hard of restrictions is setting yourself up to fail. Like, letting, like, people set, like, I know the more popular term is, like, cheat days, but, like, I mean, I still, like, I never really drank all that much pop to begin with, but allowing myself, like, two, maybe, even then, I start to feel kind of, like, ugh, about it. Like, a day is enough for me.
Well, I was paleo for, like, a few months, and that was, like, no dairy, no legumes, like, all of that jazz. Wow. And it was the worst. Like, when I was able to eat anything, when I was off of it, I was eating everything, and that made me more sick.
Yeah.
But, like, I know my certain foods that, like, I have to give up cold turkey. So, yeah. Like, right now I'm not eating cheese. Like, I'm still eating dairy, but I'm not eating cheese specifically.
Gotcha.
I feel great. I lost 7 pounds, like, the first 2 weeks that I cut out cheese. Yeah, but that shows you how much cheese I was eating.
I know you like cheese.
I mean, I am
same.
Yeah, I like me some cheese. It's good stuff.
It's about moderation and knowing your trigger too.
I don't think I could ever go vegan. I don't think I could do it. I would still like to work towards eating more vegetarian meals, just like every once in a while, just to do it. And mostly I haven't, just due to laziness. But, like, man, I like me some milk on occasion, and I love me some freaking cheese, so forget about it. Sorry, cows. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily hurt them. The practices aren't great, but it's not killing them for it.
Well, my goal when I'm, like, I told myself, because my parents told me that it's biologically not possible for me to be vegetarian. Is that, because, like, we're like, Andre, you're Mexican, we can't be vegetarian. That doesn't make sense.
How do eggs fall in the terms of things you can or cannot eat?
I can have eggs.
Okay. I like me some eggs. I don't know how you feel about eggs, but
okay, so here's the thing. I eat, like, a lot of hard boiled eggs, but I'm super lazy and haven't realized how easy it is to boil eggs. So I have, like, a full carton that's been in my fridge for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, eggs are definitely... eggs are a consumption problem sometimes here, too. I just have to make sure I get my ass out. Because Lorraine doesn't really like eggs that much, but I...
That's also a weird kind of, like, side effect from my growing up.
You're, like... I've never met anyone... It's maybe the thing that about us that is the most different, but I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who is less into breakfast food than Lorraine. Like, full stop.
Hell, I like me some bagels. I love cereal, but...
Bagels are so, like, I almost wouldn't call bagels breakfast food because they're so, like, you can eat a bagel whenever. Bagels are just good.
I don't want to eat a bagel whenever. I want to eat a bagel for breakfast. Yogurt's great. I like yogurt, too. But no, I think it kind of spawned from my family's tradition of having, like a bigger breakfast on Saturday. My dad would make us, like, eggs and stuff and, like, whatever. It was every week. That was always what it was. And as I got older, like, I always felt gross after eating. Like, I felt, like, grossly full, and I kind of hated it. So I just kind of don't like eating eggs anymore. I mean, I don't know if there's some weird, like, dietary nonsense with it, because, I mean, like, I eat eggs, like, in stuff, and they don't make me feel that way. It's just, like, scrambled or, like, sometimes over-easy eggs or sunny-side-up or whatever do that to me, too. And I've never been big on, like, hard-boiled eggs or, like, poached or anything kind of, like, crazy like that. I don't know. It's weird.
I don't like buffets. I mean, granted, I can't eat at them anymore, but...
Fair enough.
But we would go after church every Sunday, and like, you know, it's like I remember I was like, I'm done after one plate, right? Because that's like logic. I'm a little kid, and my dad's like, we paid to eat at this buffet, better get another plate. And so I hate that. I'm like, I just like my portion. Just
yeah, give it and that's like. We would have done the same thing in the past, like both, right, if we were taken somewhere, you know, or even just like family meals and stuff, which is like, it's actually not a good idea to eat more than like, after you've had your fill, you should stop eating.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get into those situations where, you know, you have a grandparent over your shoulder or whatever that's like, no, have more. And they just come over and give you more mashed potatoes. And then it's like, all right.
Mashed potatoes.
It's a legit thing, though. It's like, well, we're going to California and just expect to come back at a bigger size. Because, like, seriously, and then if you don't eat the stuff that, like, so, like, my grandparents are there, and if I don't eat what they make me, then they're like, is it because you went to your other grandparents' house and they fed you and you just want to eat my food? And I'm like, no, it's just because you just poured me a plate. And then I'd come up with these excuses. Like, my grandpa would make me, like, he'd be like, oh, do you want some avocado? And I'm like, oh, no thanks. Like, I can only eat it when it's, like, with, like, a pico or something. He would go to the kitchen and, like, mush it and stuff for me. And I'm like, oh, geez. But man. Now my allergies are just, like, a great excuse. Like, oh, I just am allergic.
Yeah, and it's such a weird thing, too, because it's, like, you don't want to hurt their feelings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but, at the same time, you know, it's, yeah, right, it's just not, you know, it's not a good thing to overeat or whatever. And it's such a, like, it's probably actually generational in, like, in a lot of these cases, I would guess, in, like, a really depressing way. Because, like, I know for a fact that my maternal grandparents, like, they came up in the South, like, in the Great Depression. Like, I know within their lifetimes, they definitively had times as, like, children where there was not enough food to eat.
So now it's like the abundance.
Yeah.
It's like compensating for that.
It's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
My family's just Mexican. We really like to feed people.
It's good,
I know,
though.
I'm the same way, so.
So I can't good. Help.
I bet your family gatherings are wonderful.
Those,
food-wise.
Yeah,
like,
those tamales that you brought to that one.
Like sweet tamales.
Yeah, they were pretty awesome.
Thanks. Oh, my mom tried making me tamales for Christmas this year, and I had to explain to her that, like, yes, Mom, you're not making it out of corn, but you're still wrapping it in corn husk.
Yeah. I was going to say, the corn husk.
The corn husk, and right. I'm like, but you're steaming it with the corn husk. And I was like, it's cool. I don't really need it. It's
okay. Man.
And I'm, like, crying inside. It's like, I just really want tamales.
Uh-huh. So they're very good. I like me some tamales. And, like, the grungier, the better. Like, the more illicit their origins could be, the more delicious they usually are. Like, my dad used to go over to, like, Mexican Town in Detroit and buy them from, like, a building that used to be a gas station, but that now just occasionally sells tamales.
Best kind I've had. I've gone to somebody's house and literally ordered.
Yeah, and then some of the other, like, the ones I've had most recently are, they have these little farmers markets in, like, the little downtown area, some part of the year on Wednesdays, they're just like, you can come out and sell some stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like during the
summer.
It's
just a dude rolls up with a cooler full of tamales, and it's like $10 for, like, you know, 10 or 15 of them or whatever. And those were so good. They were delicious. Like,
you're making me think about tamales.
Stop it. You're making her feel bad, Dustin. You monster.
But I will say, like, I was very fortunate. Like, I didn't realize how fortunate I was until I was, like, talking to my friends and my niece, you know, my niece is, like, half white and she lives with her, like, her white parent, right? And she, like, yeah, my mom made chicken every day this week, chicken and rice. And
so I'm say, like, probably, nice. Like, boiled depressing chicken.
Let me tell you about,
with, like,
boiled depressing chicken.
Rice with, like, a pound of butter on it.
Ugh.
That's my,
Ours had, like, cream of mushroom soup in it, and I have a horrible aversion to mushrooms just in general. Not like there's no allergy or anything. I hate the taste. I hate the texture. They're terrifying. They're made of tubes, and it's the worst. Mushrooms as a concept are terrible.
Just tell people you're allergic, Lorraine.
I basically kind of do.
Yeah, man. I don't, like, it's, I'm not sure if it's really, like, an established cliche or not, but man, there are so many white people who don't know how to eat. It's just like, it's very depressing.
I'm just telling, like, I didn't realize how fortunate I had it, and then yeah. I'm like, wow, thanks so much. Mm-hmm.
And I've got such a mixed bag of, like, you know, people in my family from, like, a kind of a scattershot of, like,
mm-hmm.
both super white and slightly not, but maybe the one exception to that rule, white people who grew up poor in the South. Because, you know, much like Chick-fil-A, you have to put the hate out of your mind when you... Like, you know, you have to, like, disregard the fact that, like,
disassociate,
each
basically.
Spoonful came with, right, with the help, maybe, a little helping of Jim Crow. But fuck, man, like, fried chicken is good. Hush puppies. Super good.
Oh, goodness. So what is it? The only thing that, like, I will say that it was kind of sad, because, like, sometimes, like, when I was growing up, it was like, all I want is, like, pasta. But my dad hates spaghetti. So my mom would only make us, like, that for, like, my birthday.
Let me tell you about every Wednesday night in my household, for my family's household, for as long as I can remember. Spaghetti night. Every Wednesday.
So jealous.
Basically without fail.
Although it's the same, like, that's the...
But also... Not to throw any one of my particular family members under the bus.
Oh, no.
Who was making things. Some people don't know how to make good tomato sauce because they're not necessarily Italian. And it's just basically stewed tomatoes with maybe some pepper.
Oh, no.
It's bad. So now my family thinks I don't like red sauce because I don't like eating the homemade tomato sauce that's awful. And
oh my goodness, no.
It's really bad. So I can't believe that we don't have some kind... There has to be
some kind of
family recipe for sauce. We have tomato seeds that my grandpa mm-hmm. brought over from Italy. Like, actual seeds. My dad has been growing those tomatoes for years. The sauce is terrible.
I do have to say, that feels like a cosmic... the fact that you're super into pasta specifically and then have the gluten thing going on, like, that mm-hmm. that feels like you tricked a leprechaun in a past life or something.
Well, I mean, I get away with it a lot, though, because, like, bean pasta is mm-hmm. pretty good.
What about rice pasta? Can you eat that, or is that...
Yeah, so I have brands that I'm my go-to, and to be honest, the best rice noodles... Are like the cheap ones, and like it's just straight up rice and water. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yes, those are the best.
Nice. Let me tell you about rice, though. Rice is great.
We didn't
eat like nearly enough like side rice, like side dish rice. It was like always like the weird little like the packets that have flavorings in it or in chicken and rice.
just bringing it back up. Just, like, seething about the chicken
we had
rice.
That so often.
Ugh. For us, it was chicken. Like, we would have rice, like, plenty of the time, but it wasn't, like, that chicken and rice. It was chicken and, egg noodles. That was, like, the whitest dish I could think of, like, being prepared in the house, like, on average.
I mean, when we would ever have egg noodles, it would be, like, a stroganoff or something like that.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
I didn't even know what that was till I was, like, in high school.
Stroganoff.
But see, here's the thing. I used to hate Mexican food because I couldn't handle hot stuff, like salsa and stuff. And then I would just get the smack in the face kind of thing. Like, well, like that isn't not literally
the proverbial smack in the face.
No actual smacking. But my mom and my dad, and that was really my brother. He'd be like, "How are you Mexican if you can't handle salsa?" I'm like, you know.
There's mild salsa.
I like me some Mexican food, man. I like salsa. That was another, like, I'm ashamed of how, like, I got to... I mean, I'm ashamed a lot of my... Because I was a super picky eater as a kid. Like, I was the, like, plain cheeseburger. Like, I would turn my nose up at lettuce whenever possible from the ages of, like...
Down.
That's not true.
When have you eaten a salad?
I eat salads whenever, like, I eat some salad whenever it's available. It's just not the first thing I go to.
No, you don't.
Anyway.
Pasta salad?
I actually don't really like pasta salad. That's a discussion for another day.
I don't understand.
Oh my goodness, no.
It's pasta and vegetables. What's not, and like cheese and lunch meat? It's so good.
We're not gonna get into it. We only have so much ground to cover. But yeah, I would turn like I would not be into like tacos and stuff as like a youngin just because like oh it has lettuce on it ew until probably like the age of like 14 or 15. I started to turn blossoming around a lot, into a young lot of that man. Stuff. Well, you know,
yeah,
you try more shit out and it's all
that was
awesome.
Me, though. That was totally me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's like. Everybody.
And some kids are just like that, and it's hard. Like as a parent, you know, what are you gonna do? Well, not feed them? You just give them what they'll eat.
Your taste buds do change as you get older, and I do know that children are also slightly more sensitive. Like they have more, I believe, sweet receptors
mm-hmm.
when you're younger, and that obviously changes, which is kind of is explaining our aversion to somewhat sweeter things as you get older. Like mm-hmm. some stuff is too much, and I think it's just like. Shift like your taste buds change like
yeah.
that is an actual biological thing that will happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
great. That's what I was trying to tell you. So I was I always tell people when they're like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," because like that's like the worst is like when you get those like, "Oh, like that's sad," right? But I always make the joke that it's like I prayed so hard for like God to make me be healthy that He gave me my allergies.
He wanted to test you.
Yeah, but then, like...
You gotta earn the healthiness.
Things that I can still have are, like, potatoes and rice. Mm. So then I went hard. I'm like, yes, I can still have potatoes and cheese.
I mean, that's the rice. Potatoes are the dream. You can't go wrong with potatoes. They're so good.
But that's the thing is I started getting sick again. Mm. And then they found out I had something called insulin resistance.
Mm.
So then I have to, like, monitor how much rice, potatoes, and cheese I have.
Tragic.
It's honestly...
A true Greek tragedy if I have ever seen one.
But that's why, like, I want to become a vegetarian, but most vegetarian, like, you know, like, products that they sell have soy in them.
Yeah, sure. I'll say that's, as a supplement.
There's a lot of other doors that close to you from that mm-hmm. that direction.
Yeah, and then I'd be vegan, but then yet again, all of the dairy substitutes are soy. So it's like, if I want to survive, kind of have to, you know, eat the products, so.
Right. I mean, you know, just eat what doesn't make you feel awful.
Eat what doesn't kill you.
That's right, you kill it first.
Yep.
Because I love food.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just risk the pancakes that make me feel sick still till Tuesday night. Was it worth it? Absolutely.
There you go. Find that silver lining. Mm-hmm. Clinging to it.
I get down with a pancake from time to time. Oh, it's still
waffles are better.
Right, pancake is bronze medalist for me in terms of it's waffles, French toast, pancakes in that order for me personally.
I would probably do waffles, pancakes, French toast. I'm not big on French toast.
Oh, French
toast
is great.
It's not bad,
but it is just like bread with eggs in it. So I guess I can see why you personally would not be super into it.
No, it's I don't know. I just it's a little
like in the mood for pancakes.
I also have to be in the mood for pancakes and waffles, but I mean, like...
And waffles are... I feel like waffles are way better because they're, like... There's a much greater sweet and savory spectrum for a waffle. I feel like whenever I get a pancake, it's always, like, almost just a cake. Like, it is so sweet most of the time that, like... waffles, I feel like, are much more likely to just be, like... This is, like, just very ever so lightly sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Eating is great.
My pancakes are usually, like, syrup, and then, like, I just need the pancake to justify the syrup.
You know, that makes some sense. I can get behind that.
But I do miss Eggo waffles.
Yeah, the Eggo waffles are good for what they are.
Yeah.
Like, they're fun from time to time.
No, like, I truly miss, like, that consistency of waffle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're a little, like, they're just packed a little tighter than your, like, your Belgium
and
or your
and
other, like restaurant-style waffle.
Right. Volumetrically, they are a good size, too.
Yeah.
Like, an Eggo waffle is never, like, too much by itself.
That's also my problem with most kind of, like, just waffles and pancakes in general. They're just too big. I am not a big person.
Yeah, that's, like,
I can't eat all that
shit. If you go to a place and, like, order them, I totally feel you. Because, yeah, sometimes you'll
get... That's why I don't like going out to breakfast.
Big-ass pancakes and big-ass
waffles.
Because
most of the portions are way too big.
But, you know, you've seen me eat, like... A pound and a half of omelet, so...
It's true. I have, on multiple occasions.
You know that I'll eat breakfast anyway, but
I
yeah, I
agree.
Have you guys ever been at Tony's? Near Frankenmuth, or Birch?
I don't think so.
I think it's called Tony's. They sell, like,
Their serving sizes are huge. It's like a pound. It is like their omelets, like a pound.
Yeah. My go-to for, like, whenever I find myself in a Coney Island, my go-to is to get whatever omelet they have on the menu, and I've yet to be disappointed. Pretty much always awesome.
I can't remember the last time I went to Coney Island.
It's been a minute.
But those places are probably, like, a minefield for, like, everything. You ask a dude in a Coney Island what's in a thing, and he's just gonna, like, spit on the floor and then, like, talk to the next person at the table. Like, I feel like those aren't the best places for, like, complicated diets.
Yeah.
But man, Vegas omelets are great. Fan of all breakfast meats. I'll take pretty much any sausage. I'll take bacon whenever you got it. Fuck, man. Speaking of, like, and I've never had, like, a breakfast sausage that I've, like, turned down. Like, all that stuff's been good, but chorizo did. The first time I had chorizo, it might have changed my life. Like, I was basically born again. The first time I had chorizo, it was really something. Probably my go-to sausage product if I had to pick one above all others.
That's not going to be the hardest thing for me to, like, to get. Like, if I want to become a vegetarian, chorizo's going to be super hard for me to get rid of.
So good. It's like,
I have to take you guys. There's a taco place in Lincoln Park that I have to take you guys to if you like chorizo.
There's a couple around here now that make really good chorizo tacos.
Las Consuelas is great.
Mm-hmm. And that little, like, just a little convenience store that also serves tacos out of the back of it makes pretty awesome tacos. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's, like, even closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like a little, like a little Mexican grocery store that if you go around.
Those are the best. That's the one I'm talking about. One, it's called, like, Los Arcos. It's in Lincoln Park.
Oh, that sounds really familiar. That name. Mm-hmm. I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I might too. Southfield. But
yeah.
I agree. All those places are great. And that's another, like, still, like, I'm down with pretty much any kind of taco at this point. Like, I'll take, like, a more, like, Tex-Mex, like, Taco Bell style, where it's just, like, you know, beef and cheese and lettuce. But I'll also totally rock, like, just give me a taco with, you know, a meat of your choice and, like, some onions and a little cilantro. Like, that's,
I thought
shit's
you hated
pretty
cilantro.
Good. I like a little bit of it.
Okay.
On a taco specifically. I don't like a ton of it in some cases, but
I'm still fairly upset with Qdoba and their lack of making your own tacos now, because I used to get, like, their pulled pork on tacos, which was phenomenal. It was so good. And now they just have their, like, preset tacos that you can get, and it makes me very mad.
I can't have Qdoba.
I can understand why you can't have Qdoba.
But I can have Chipotle. But not all Chipotles are created equal. Definitely got sick from
Chipotle.
Chipotle
hasn't that, like, established history of occasional food poisoning, like, you know, chain wide. So
no, I learned a lesson. Like, I will only go to the one in Allen Park, and there's only one dude that I trust to make my bowl. I know his hours. That is not a mistake.
Oh, it's great.
I like
it. Not a stalkery thing to say. Just honest.
You dial up Chipotle. Hey, is Chet there?
Totes. I'll be down in 15 minutes.
I'll be there in 5.
He literally, like, looks at me, points, like, with his, like, fingers, and so says, hey, you're the one with the allergies. Corn, soy, wheat. And I'm like, you know me.
You know me.
And then they always offer me tortilla chips at the end, and I'm like,
sweetie, no.
Oh, that's so great.
I love it.
Oh, man. What's the, we're talking about places like that, like a Chipotle or, you know, like the fast food equivalents, like the Taco Bells or whatever. What have you found to be the most,
authentic?
Yeah, like the most disappointing. I was going to go the other way. Like, sure. What is the worst implementation you've seen of, like, Mexican food?
You don't
and
necessarily have to say Taco Bell, but I understand if it's Taco Bell.
Okay, so, like, I don't consider Taco Bell Mexican food.
Fair enough.
Like, I would say that it's, like, anything that is actually fast food, like, if their primary method of providing you their service is through a drive-thru or whatever, like, that's kind of a different class of meal. Like, you sort of know what you're getting, and that, like, it's going to be, you know, a minimally viable food product, which I still like me some Taco Bell from time to time, but when I say, if somebody says, I'm feeling like Mexican food, I do not suggest Taco Bell. It's just a different thing.
Yeah, so like I loved Taco Bell like when I was in high school and stuff. I don't consider that Mexican food. I would consider like the worst, like the most disappointing, I guess, is one time I went to a Mexican restaurant in Mexican town, and I asked them if they have horchata, and they're like, "No, we don't have that." And I'm like, "All right, so you already suck."
Yes, you failed.
And strike one.
Strike one. And then I was like, I would like to order like a steak, right? So I call it carne asada, and they're like, "Oh, you mean steak?" And I'm like, "Strike two. Like, you don't even understand how to say it in like Spanish."
Mm-hmm.
And then just the final strike was I asked if I could have some like onions and cilantro on the side with it rather than like the lettuce and tomato that they wanted to put on my taco.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Sorry, we don't have any of that in the restaurant." And I was like, "What do you mean
that's
you
crazy.
Don't have cilantro?"
Yeah. I think I agree. My thing, my litmus test for, and we had this conversation when your cousins were over too, but my litmus test for if you want to know if a place that serves Mexican food is worth your time or not, if they don't have like real ass corn tortillas as an option, for me that's like a, like if you're giving me the like white flour ones and that's like the only thing you serve, I'm like, nope. I understand how you would do this, but this is not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's legit. I would agree.
Oh man, so good though.
Although, like, there's like a lot of Mexican restaurants now that do not serve like the authentic corn tortillas unless you ask for it.
Hmm.
I think it's because there's like a large population of like, you know, suburbians going to Mexican town now.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can't tell the difference between good corn tortillas or not.
Get the cheaper stuff.
Yeah, so then they
for
give
the
them
scrubs.
The cheaper
stuff. It's freaking...
You have to, like, know to ask. Because, yeah, like, that's a big thing for tacos. If you get a taco and there's not two corn tortillas, then
yeah,
it's not real.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about. See, gentrification does ruin everything. God, making our tacos worse, driving people out of their homes. Fuck, man. But yeah, totally. That's like
interesting. You have to know a Mexican. I got you.
Yeah, man, that's a hard stopping point. And like I said, I'm not like, it's not that I won't eat flour tortillas ever. Mm-hmm. But it's just not, if you say let's get Mexican food, like that's not what I'm looking for.
Understandable.
That's not what I'm expecting when you're like, let's go out and get Mexican food. Yeah, man, all that stuff is great.
But my coworker does tell me that he's like, "Yeah, we have Taco Tuesday at my house," and he's like, "We get that hard corn shell," and I was like, "Nah."
Yeah, man, that's straight up. That's
that,
some bullshit right
that
there. That's
what,
even worse.
That's
than
what
like,
deterred me from corn tortillas at all. Was those hard ones, because I hate those.
And they're not good. They're like
they're not.
They're definitely worse than like from best to worst. It is like the traditional like kind of pan-fried corn tortilla, flour tortillas, and then, like, the shitty Taco Bell ones that you buy in the box that come, like, stacked in
I have since had those better corn ones and realized that I do, in fact, like corn tortillas.
Yeah,
just
great.
Not the garbage ones that, like, everywhere else has, which is why I, like, only order soft tacos from, like, Taco Bell or wherever, because I don't like the hard corn.
I'm not gonna lie, I kind of just, like, associate them with, like, Doritos or, like, corn tortilla chips.
I mean, they really are, yeah.
They're that, but just in a different shape.
They really are, yeah, just, like, corn tortilla chips bent into, like, a U-shape. Like, that's basically what they're serving there. It's
not
right.
Which is bad.
Yeah, it's no good.
I used to love me a Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's got both going on. You get both worlds there.
Yeah, but that's like straight up not Mexican. That
yeah,
is
well,
absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Well, I
that's
mean,
like
98% of Taco Bell isn't Mexican.
That thing came. That's like a Jurassic Park. Like that was genetically engineered in a laboratory.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like my mom to this day still doesn't really do ground beef.
Huh.
We don't do that. Like, there's, like, one dish that I, like, consider Mexican dish that has, it's called, there's two. There's two. There's albóndigas, which are, like, Mexican meatballs in a stew.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, this other thing with, like, zucchini and stuff. But those are the only two dishes I can think of that have ground beef in them.
Because most of it's, like, pork, right? Pork or, like, chicken?
For Mexican food?
Yeah.
No, we just, like, get slabs of beef.
Just not ground. Okay, got you. I thought.
Not like hamburger style.
Yeah, I was slightly confused there. Okay.
Hasn't been put through the crazy crank thing that, like, extrudes it out into a pile.
Yeah, we just don't ground our beef. It's like, nah, man, you have to cut it yourself. Have to get those extra sharp knives. My mom is super serious about our knives.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, just like, right? Because if you're not getting that shit from the grocery store as is, like, who the fuck grounds their own beef? Like,
maniacs.
We just didn't get it. And then they're like, there's so much fat in this. And it's not even the fat that you can reuse.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Nope. But then it all stems back to the fact that my dad hates spaghetti. And my mom would have to buy ground beef to make me my spaghetti for my birthday. But liver and onions is the worst.
I'm not actually sure, like, where liver and onions falls on the, like, where would you think that would be in terms of, like, ethnically, like, what ethnic food stuff? Like, I would guess, like, German or English or something, but I have no idea if that's true
English,
or not.
I think it might be English, actually, or, like, maybe, like, Scottish or something.
I mean, they...
Like, that kind of, like, the British Isles area, I think.
Scotland likes their, their organ meats, so that wouldn't shock me. But
we basically eat anything off of the cow, so.
And that's good. That's a good policy if you can stomach it, for sure. Don't want that shit to go to waste. I don't know the weirdest, like. No, you're good. I don't know what the weirdest, like, meat stuff I've ever tasted.
Place of origin: UK and Germany. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had to look it up. I had to know.
It's my dad's favorite, but, like, James's family always got surprised, and we were like, yeah, we eat chitlins, we just deep fry it.
Oh, man.
Basically, if we can deep fry it, we'll eat it, too. But, like, cow tongue, like, I used to love it, but then I got, like, really bad food poisoning from it once, and then I was like, nope, never again. To this day, if I eat, like, cow tongue, I, like, get sick.
That's not great.
Well, my parents don't, like, that's the other thing about being Mexican. It's kind of the, like, are you really sick? Like, just suck it up kind of situation.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think.
My parents are sick. Sorry about
that. Yeah, I think that crosses a lot of, like, ethnic backgrounds, too. I think there's a lot of different, because there was a decent amount of that, and, you know, just rub some dirt in it, was the kind of, like, just walk it off and you'll be okay. Like, I get that for sure.
So I went to work yesterday and today. I feel like crap, but it's in my, like, jeans. I can't just keep working because I feel sick. So, but, no, what was it? So that day I felt really sick and my parents were like, you're probably just hungry. Continue to eat these, like, cow tongue tacos. I ate, like, three of them and I'm like, nope. And then, like, I proceeded to go to the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
But that is, like, a thing. And then, like, I know, my favorite movie is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. The Windex. I just put some Windex on it. It's cool.
Oh, man.
Marie, how is your family like that with, like, sick days? Were you ever allowed to be sick?
I mean, not, like, there was never really, like, you're not feeling well. Just stay in. No, it was just kind of, like, just go. Like. There was some of that, like, just kind of suck it up. But, I mean, if any of us, like, any of me or my three sisters or, like, my parents, like, were really, really, like, bedridden sick, then it was just kind of like, oh, just leave them alone. Like, heat pads, just go and chill or something.
Yeah, that would also be interesting to try to trace through, like, the which part of your background that came from. Because if I had to, I'm pretty confident that that's probably from, like, more on my mom's side. And just, like, the like the more hardy southern, like, look, man, just shit could be worse. Just walk it off.
See, honestly,
go ahead, Andrea.
My mom was like, you already threw up. Like, what's the worst that can happen now? Go to school.
I think a lot of that came from my grandma Ferriulo. She was a very hardy woman, to say, from what I can remember. I mean, she passed away when I was, like, 8. So I obviously didn't have too much time with her, but from, like, stories that I've heard from, like, my dad and, like, aunts and uncles and stuff like that, like, she was a very just kind of, like, in your face, like, okay, let's
one of her favorite saying, like just some of the things that she used to say, like, basically as almost, like, catchphrases. Like, I'm going to beat you within an inch of your life. I'm going to tear off your arm and beat you over the head with a bloody stump. She got shit done. What? She ran that house. Like, she was very, like... And, like, it was, like, she was... Like, my grandpa Ferriulo, my dad's dad, was not a tall man. He was maybe 5 foot. He might have been even been shorter than my mom, who was 5 foot. He was a small guy. And my grandma was probably, like, 5'8 or so. She was tall. She was a big woman. And she ran that house. She was, like, whenever we would go over there, she was always, like, up in the kitchen doing something, helping someone out. Like, she was the, like, she was the big cog in the machine running all that stuff. So I think a lot of that just kind of, like, get up and take care of it is from her on that side of the family.
I do have a question for both of you. Were your guys' parents, or if you can recall, like, from things that they've told about your grandparents, was there any level of capital punishment in terms of like spankings and stuff like that? Because we didn't really, like, when we were younger, like, I know we got spanked sometimes, but it wasn't like an ongoing, like, it wasn't a too brutal thing. But I remember my mom telling me about, like, when she was a kid that, again, all from, like, you know, her side was, like, her dad would, like, you know, in, like, the 60s and 70s or whatever, like, when they were coming up, her dad would, like, if someone was really in line, he would absolutely say, like, go break yourself off a switch and bring it to me. And then he would hit a kid with a fucking tree branch. So life was different back then. But us personally, that wasn't really, like, really a thing. Like, I remember getting spanked, like, once or twice, but it wasn't, like, today I don't think spanking really flies at all. Like, I don't, and probably for the better.
I mean, it shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I don't think hitting your children in any capacity is a good way to teach them a lesson.
For something that isn't also hitting is not good.
But yeah, I was just curious. Cause
but
it's,
I feel like the only one on my mom's side who would have gotten any of that would have been my uncle. Because he was a middle child between two girls and was fairly wild in his youth. And my grandparents on that side are among some of the chillest people. Like, I've maybe seen my grandpa mad once in my entire life. So I think dealing with that might have pushed... I don't think he would have ever done anything like that to either my mom or my aunt on that side, just because they're not... They're also just kind of chiller, too. Like, in general, none of them were super rambunctious, aside from my uncle. So I don't think that was big over there, but it's also just hard to say on my dad's side, too, because I could totally see my grandpa doing that. But my dad is also of two boys of seven kids, everyone else being girls, who I think the worst thing they did was probably trade one of my aunts for a wagon at one point she was an infant. That actually happened. They did that. They gave my Aunt Lorraine away to one of their neighbors in exchange for a wagon and then got her back because my grandma told them to.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. I don't know if that was when they were still living in Detroit or not, because they then moved to Allen Park later on after their house caught fire. Which I think was actually neighborly arson, if I'm remembering that story correctly. But yeah, one of my aunts was bartered away for a wagon. But yeah, I mean, that was a threat. In our household.
Yeah. Gonna sell you for a wagon?
No, I meant more the capital punishment.
Okay.
Things could get heated.
Yeah. I also remember the belt. That was grandparents, not parents, also. No, like, I think
we had the belt, too.
You guys had the seat. Oh, yeah. We never personally were threatened with the belt.
But we were told,
this is how good you have it, because I'm not going to take my belt off like my dad would have and spank the shit out of you with it.
We got both of those, and more, actually. It never escalated violently past the belt, probably, but psychologically... Let me tell you about some scarring I have. Hell yeah. I'm damaged.
Sorry, that's not funny. But well, my mom describes her childhood like in like this awe, like wonderful thing. She's like one of three, and her siblings and her were like best friends growing up. And my parents are both the eldest. Mm. So like my mom would like take care of her, like help take care of her siblings, you know? So like, and even my abuelita, my mom's mom, like says, mm-hmm. like, oh, my daughter's perfect. And she thinks of us the same way. So it's like on that side, mm-hmm. if she was like, she would like hit us, it'd be like with her like slipper, and it'd be kind of like a love tap kind of situation. And then, but my dad's side, he was a nerd though. Like, he was also like, would just do random things. Cause like he bought fireworks in Mexico and lit off his science lab.
Oh geez.
But his mother defended him to the principal, saying, like, these nerds just want to have fun.
Look at these poor children. They can't have fun any other way.
Mm-hmm. I definitely knew kids. I knew kids who did that too, like stuff similar to that, where, you know, whatever fireworks or whatever you could get your hands on.
Oh, yeah, you go to Ohio.
And then you might take them into your backyard or your garage and cut them apart and pour the gunpowder into like a cardboard box and then, and then just light that on fire and see what happens.
Not say it went there.
I'm pretty sure that's a bomb, but yeah. Okay.
But my grandfather, on my dad's side, I can imagine him having been more disciplinary, and my dad's side would have been the side that was more like that. My mom always used to say like some, I don't know. I always remember stories differently than what they actually were. I guess my mind's just more entertaining than real life. My mom always used to threaten to put soap in her mouth if we said anything. Like, we weren't allowed to say words like shut up or stupid.
We got that threat as well.
I actually definitely have had my mouth washed out with soap before. That might be the most, like, the harshest thing that
was ever
physically done to me.
I don't know if we ever actually did. That was a threat, though. That was a threat that got thrown around.
I don't know if it was just shut up, though, because, like, when we were young enough, that was definitely, like, it was not cool to be, like, shut up or you're stupid.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Those were,
like, quote-unquote curses that were that harsh.
Man.
I couldn't even say the H word, and the H word is hate. Like, my mom would be like, you cannot say you hate your sister. And I'm like, well, then I strongly dislike her. Is such a brat. Like, I know this now that I see my niece. I'm like, dang, I was a brat to my parents, because like they would threaten to like give us, like they'd be like, all right, that's one, like when we get home, right? And my sister, when we would get home, she'd like run to the room, she didn't want to get hit, and I'd be like, all right, mom, you said you were gonna hit me,
do it.
And she was like, you know what, Andrea, you just go to your room and don't talk. But my cousins, like, my mom, like, didn't agree with the way my aunts were, like, handling her children. Because she would smack them so hard in front of us. And we're, jeez. Like, not only is that, like, embarrassing for them to grow up with, but, mm-hmm. like, it just teaches them that they can do it again and they'll just have to take the beating.
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, I don't know what they ended up like as adults, so.
Yeesh.
Sure. And yeah, like the ultimate problematic thing with that is like what Ryan was saying. It kind of just like, if you show kids that violence is an appropriate reaction to
violence
solving a problem,
begets more violence.
Yeah, it's not. It's not an awesome lesson.
No.
To teach a child, I don't think that, you know, our parents or grandparents or however far back, I don't think that they thought that that's how it was working out.
Yeah.
You know, with a few more years of introspection, maybe not the best way to handle it.
Whoopsie.
To handle disobedience.
Yeah, and I mean, we adopted my brother, so his situation, like, with his parents weren't the best, so he didn't believe in, like, bringing violence in.
Sure.
In any form of the way, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know where this falls on the spectrum, because, you know, everybody fights, like, everybody has arguments and stuff, but it was mostly just, like, loud volume yelling when we were getting to it, especially as, like, teenagers, when we were a little more rambunctious and probably deserving of a good shout down or two.
Yeah, my house is more of, like, if you're talking in a really, like, calm tone, like, we will say that, like, why are you yelling at me? Because, like, yelling in my house is, like, the normal inside voice. But if, like, how we're talking right now, if I were to talk to, like, my parents like that, they'd be like, well, why are you upset? Like, why are you yelling
at me? That's funny. I was kind of going to ask that, too, because there's a lot of, like, I know there's, you know, sometimes it's passive aggression where it's, like, you know, when somebody's parent might get quiet is the time to be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
But for us, it was just like especially for my dad, the louder things are, the worse it was.
I mean, I think he's a generally quiet guy for the most part.
Yeah.
Like.
Right. Yeah.
He's
actually
a soft-spoken guy to begin with.
Yeah. More soft-spoken than me, probably.
Oh, definitely.
Which is like,
you have a very high normal speaking volume, Dustin.
I will definitely blame that on the Italian part of my family. It's just like I don't know what it is, but.
Well, it's because
Italians
talk
in general
over
seem
each other.
Right. Seem a few decibels higher. Than
what about me then?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't call you like quiet explicitly, but there could
you're
be other
chill,
stuff involved with that too. Like there actually could be more much darker context involving like what different genders are allowed to do. Like I could believe that might be part of it, which is you know that's
I
not.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm probably
you're allowed to
as a young
louder.
Man would be less likely to get you know to get shit for being a loud idiot. Than a young woman might in the same situation doing or saying the same things, so.
See, I think that they're not, like, they don't go hand in hand, because, like, I think a lot of people
I mean, it's culturally, for sure.
Quiet for chill.
I mean, there's also the fact that I'm a middle child.
Sure. Right, and yeah, exactly, like, sometimes quiet isn't chill, sometimes quiet is calculating.
Hell yeah.
It's like, I'm planning
Let me tell you how many bad situations I averted by watching what my older sister did wrong. Sitting and waiting sometimes works out for the better.
See, my sister always says, like, I don't understand how Andre got away with doing so much more. And I'm like... No.
You find the blind spots, man.
Well, but I consider myself a middle child because, I mean, people don't agree with me, but my brother was adopted when I was 7 and he was 14. So, like, he was technically, like, the eldest, but he was the last one to enter the family. So I consider him the baby.
Yeah, I could kind of see some logic behind that. Like, social, like, family norms get established, like, just being in a group in general, like, even if someone older than you, like, say, even, like, a group of friends,
mm-hmm.
like, you could be the youngest in the group, but then when someone new comes in, who, even if they're older than you, kind of feels like the baby, like, the
shiny
the newcomer who doesn't know how things, like, the cadences of the group, the how everything flows. I understand your logic behind that, Andrea.
Yeah, because I was totally like the Marsha.
I think that makes some sense, too. I would.
And really, if my brother was mad at me, the first thing my dad would say is, like, what did you do to get him mad? And I'm like, I didn't do anything.
Man.
He was making fun of me.
Mm-hmm. Also, I gotta say, man, props to your parents for, like, first of all, adoption is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody who adopts a kid, like, that's an awesome thing to do.
So, like, his mom didn't, like, she relinquished him, so, like, not, so he's my cousin. So he,
right on.
Like, my parents were his legal guardians, but they never, like, fully adopted him and changed his last name.
Sure.
But he calls my mom and my dad, like, mom and dad.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, he knows his biological parents, obviously. He talks to them, but.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. That's cool, too. Like, but, I mean, still, like, the idea of, like.
A 14-year-old.
Right, 14 is usually the age where people who have had their own kids are like, can I take this one back? Like, because it's a little much. Like, this is more than I bargained for.
What's the warranty on this? I have the receipt. It got stamped by the doctor.
So, yeah, to be like, yeah, we'll take one more. Oh, they're 14? Oh, great. Sure, bring them along.
Yeah, I, like, literally asked Santa Claus, right, for, I was 7, so that's kind of old. Anyways, I put on my list, I said, I want a baby brother. And then my mom and my dad tricked me and gave me an older brother. So I was like, that was not what I was asking.
Wait
for.
A minute.
It's a little bigger than I was expecting.
You got upgraded to the deluxe model.
But it worked out. I mean, now he's like 31. And now we
that
get
sounds
along.
Right.
So it's cool having an older brother again.
That's
there's
really cool.
There's a middle part where it wasn't. But no.
I mean, I think that just comes with the territory of having an older brother.
Yeah, sure. Having, you know, siblings in general, and especially, like, when they get to age ranges, like, you know, you're into different shit when you're 14 than you are when you're 7 or 10 or, you know, even 18. Like,
you have, like, a terrible 14 to, like, 28, so.
Do you mean being a teen?
But, you know, I will say something, though. It's, like, he would make fun of me to, like I would be crying. Like, he was evil, but... One time, he always carried around a picture of me and my sister in his wallet.
Aww.
Like, and I was like, oh, that's cute. And, but some kid in high school, like, I was still in elementary school.
Yeah.
Said something about me and my sister, and he, like, beat him up. Like, he didn't even question it. He was like, what did you say about my sisters? And he got suspended. And my parents were like, well, good job defending them, but... No.
Nice intent, less bad punch, execution.
Less punching next time.
They're like, let's use our words.
For sure. But yeah, that's like, that's definitely the sibling dynamic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of the time. Like, no, only the, I can call them idiots. Like,
on the outside, it's ride or die. But on the inside, it's die, die, die.
Well, Lorraine, you know how I am with my sister, too. So. Oh, yeah. I can say anything I want about her, but the moment anybody else says anything, it's over.
I mean, same.
It's crazy,
you
man.
You have three.
I do.
That's intense.
It's a lot to compete with in terms of, like, attention and such.
I mean, I was generally probably the quietest out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Kept to myself more often than not. But
yeah, that's still, I still can't believe, and I, like I said, it was just such a different world, I guess, with like a lot less going on in general in terms of distractions and stuff like that. But I can't imagine growing up in either like my mom or my dad's shoes.
Oh, God,
who came
no.
from families that had like 6+ children each.
3 is a lot.
Yeah.
Or 4, I guess, yeah, technically 4 if you count me. But like, yeah, like, I mean, my mom, like, surprisingly for like the time, like, my mom grew up in a family of 3. Like, it was her and her older brother and sister. And then my dad was one of 7.
Which, well, my seems... grandma had a bunch of miscarriages. So she had 7. But she was like, yeah, I should have had 12 or something like that. And I'm like, Jesus.
Double digits is, ooh, man. That's not screwing around. Putting up numbers.
Scoreboard.
That's right.
But my dad and his brother are 20 years apart, though, so...
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think... trying to think of what the age range is.
I think my mom's family, like, I think my Uncle Mike is almost, like, I think he's between 15 and 20 years older than Uncle Brad, who's the youngest. So there's quite a gap there, too.
I think
too.
It's probably close to 10, because my dad is the second youngest,
uh-huh.
and his youngest sister is the same age as my mom. And I think, I know the oldest, my oldest aunt is definitely over 60, and my mom is not. Like, she might be turning 55 this year or something. I don't remember. I'm terrible. I'm the worst. I'm like 54, I think it might actually be. But yeah, so I think it's about 10 years. And then I think from my mom to, because my mom is the youngest of her siblings, and she might be... between like 5 and 6 years younger, I think, than her sister was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
I only memorized the year my parents were born because, like,
oh, you were there the year your parents were born? Wow.
What?
You said my only memories are the years my parents were born.
No, I memorized. No, oh. I said it's sad how I memorized it. My dad's brother. It goes my dad's brother, my mom, my dad, right? So, like, my dad's the eldest, and then my mom and then my uncle. But my uncle was born the year we went to the moon, so I always remember, like, 1969 for him, and then I just work my way backwards to my dad.
Nice.
It's basically, oh, like, solve for X.
So, like, that's the... Oh, that's, like, the thing. I guess it's, like, a thing in my family for us to just, like, take in a cousin, because my mom's mom took care of my mom's cousin when he was growing up, too. Like, he lived with my grandmother. And so, like, my mom kind of has, like, an adopted brother, too.
Mm.
She calls him brother, and they're 10 years apart, so. Yeah.
That's neat, yeah.
Fun facts of life.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, still, not an easy thing, but a good, like, a good thing to do, you know, if, you know, some member of your family is having trouble, to step up to the plate and say, hey, I'm gonna, you know, help out this other, mm-hmm. you know, cousin, niece, nephew, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah, pretty awesome.
My cousins, they're not allowed to do that. But it's cool. Although Luis, my nephew, is like the cutest thing ever. So I was like, I'll take it.
I'll take that one.
How old is he now? Is he a year old yet? Or
yes, he is. Was it that? 12? No, wait. 14 months?
Okay.
I was going to say, I thought it was recent. That
just he over a year.
One. Yeah, I remember seeing those pictures.
Yes, the 28th or 26th. 20, I'm a great aunt. On the 26th, he'll be 14 months, I think.
No,
January, February to March. Yeah, 14 months.
Very cool.
Yeah. Although I took care of him for the first time by myself for like a full day, and I thought I was going bonkers, man. He knows how to, like, he literally learned how to walk 2 days before I was set to take care of him.
Oh, geez.
Like, he started, like, he was, like, confidently walking. And I had yet to change, like, a poop diaper. That's why I got back to my house with him, and he's like, oh, you need to change me. Like, he obviously, like, stared at me, and he was like,
fix this.
Like, fix this. And then again, right before my mom got home, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's just how my luck rolls, man.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of gotta go.
Yeah, I think it's about time. We've been out at this for quite a bit.
Rambling.
But thank you
about
for
nonsense. Yeah.
Calling in and hanging out. Like I said, I like talking about all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. so I'm glad. I definitely don't mind having like a food and family episode.
To bring up our promise from the last episode, I will talk about one game before we go.
Okay.
I've been playing Ever Oasis for the 3DS, which is kind of like a behind like third person hack and slashy town sim kind of game that came out last year. I've been enjoying it.
Very good. I like
about like halfway through, I think, mm-hmm. give or take.
Yeah, we'll do.
It's fun.
We'll talk about it more when
I
you actually finish it.
I talked about one game.
Yeah,
I wanted to talk about one.
We'll talk about it more when you actually finish it. But I am glad
I want
that you,
to finish it.
You brought it up a little bit because it looks kind of cool, and I know that you've been enjoying it enough mm-hmm. to keep on keeping on.
I had a coupon for my birthday from Nintendo. It was 30% off, so I bought it.
Very neat.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Lorraine, for hanging out.
As always.
Talking about that video game.
A pleasure.
And other stuff.
My emotional scarring.
Andrea, thanks for joining us for a little while to talk about all kinds of stuff.
We'll hang out soon in person for sure.
Maybe have our potluck thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
I would be all about that.
Hella.
That would be awesome.
That sounds delightful. Way into it. I still want to, if at any point you felt like volunteering the time and just chilling a little bit, I would still love to have you, like, come over and hang out and make salsa with me, like, because so good.
I tried to learn with my mom. She taught me, but mine always, I always forget to add enough salt.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, that's something you kind of feel out, I feel like, with mm-hmm. some of that stuff.
And I feel like it wouldn't be a deal breaker if you tried to fix it in post. Like, if you tasted it and
salt is easy.
You're right. If you tasted it and it seemed like it wasn't enough salt, I feel like you could add that after the fact and stir it in real well, and it'd mm-hmm. probably be fine.
Yes.
Definitely.
But yeah, in any case, thank you so much for calling in and hanging out. And like Lorraine said, we'll have to hang out in person in the mm-hmm. not-too-distant future. Thank you, Internet, for hanging out and listening to us gab about all kinds of nonsense. So until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye!